Hello, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, tiny housers, and those who are just oddly curious about what it is we do in the tiny house community. Welcome to episode, we're moving on this week, Laura, episode 38 of...
Whoa.
Yeah, right? I told you we're moving on. Episode 38 of the Revo Convo. Insert music here. Oh, wait. Was I supposed to read that? Insert music here? Anyway, insert music here. La 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 la. Yeah! And we're live.
I don't even know what to say.
Let's just say that being in the tiny office now is good and bad. It's good because my wife is staying sane, not having me in the house working all day. It's probably not so good because I've developed a whole cast of characters of whom I work with all day long. And yes, they do answer me back.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
I've always talked to myself, but I think it's escalating into a troublesome level now. I've developed full characterizations for them, down to like what they smell like, which is a little bit absurd because I'll find myself at like 2 in the afternoon going, Hank, seriously, lay off the garlic at lunch. You're speechless, aren't you, Laura? You don't know what to do with this information.
I do not. I'm just thinking you could take the show on the road.
Oh, gosh, on the road. You know, the Chicken Whisperer, my friend Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, who gave me my podcast start, you know, he tours during the year. Like, people sponsor him to come and do his podcast live at their facility. He's actually sponsored by Tractor Supply, believe it or not.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say, for any of you listening who are connected with, you know, several different people, I mean, there's lots of people. You know what? I think Stephen Harrell should sponsor us and send us on the road. Stephen, if you're listening, I think we could be the faces behind Tiny House Listings, Tiny House Swoon, Tiny House Vacations, Tiny House Gear, whatever other sites you own that we don't know about that the NSA is tracking. We'll be your face. We will travel. And anyone who owns a bar or a pub or something that serves beer of any sort, we'll come and do our show live from your bar stools.
That's actually a plan I can totally get behind.
Yeah, right? That is a plan. We have just thrown the flag out there. Let's see who picks it up and runs with it.
Exactly.
So, Laura, we're doing our back-to-school show. We're back to school now. Just like Target, we are back to school.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that we've taken the summer off. It feels like it was just last week we did another podcast, but it hasn't been. It's been a while.
It has been. I think it's been like 6 or 7 weeks. I think the last person we talked to was Michael Jansen, and he was telling us about his paper dolls that were coming out soon, and those have been released. And lots of folks.
And then
have
it happened.
Yeah, lots of folks have been talking about his. I say that with all due respect, his paper dolls. He did this great PDF of tiny house furniture that you can basically just print out, cut out, and put into your, you know, to your model. So, or you mm-hmm. can, I think they're digital files as well that you can put in SketchUp or something like that. So, just tremendous. That guy's like a powerhouse, seriously. To be a quote-unquote volunteer in the tiny house community, he's like a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say that. I'm going to try and use the word powerhouse, wheelhouse, and lexicon over the next 45 minutes.
All right.
I've highlighted those words today. And usually vocabulary is not really in my wheelhouse. Bam! There it is, word number two. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Well played. Yeah, so Michael Jansen was our last one, and... we just, you know, in thinking back the history of this show, we've had some seriously cool people on this show.
We sure have.
And we have a lot more cool people because every day it seems like another person is busting out with a tiny house. And so I honestly, in my heart, maybe you and I'm just going to be fair here. Maybe you and I are not the ones to do it maybe we're not the ideal serious satellite talk show hosts. I don't know. But I really do feel like there's an audience for a national tiny house radio show or satellite program or, you know, even better marketed and networked podcasts. Because even though I'm good at marketing, I'm not the best at marketing. I don't know how to take it to huge audiences. But in just looking at our statistics, our numbers, I really do think there's an audience out there. And I'm so surprised that some of the even network channels on television have not picked up on it. I just don't, what are they waiting for exactly?
Right, it is, I mean, it's a huge movement, and it's pretty surprising that it hasn't, you know, we're used to it, it's part of our wheelhouse, but we're part of a community, so we see it, and we're involved in it, and we're immersed in it, but when you go talk to other communities of people, there are still people out there that don't really know what's going on.
Oh, I know. I mean, you and I live in a state where I like to think that we're pretty well-versed in tiny houses and alternative houses and that sort of stuff, but there are lots of segments right here in North Carolina, be it Charlotte, be it Raleigh-Durham, be it Research Triangle, that just do not have a concept of what tiny houses are. You know, our tiny office here, it's 8 foot by 12 foot with a shed roof. Some of you have seen pictures on our Google Plus page or on Instagram or something like that. It is a small space. 8 by 12 is not big at all. But it also only costs about $740 to build. Now, granted, I still have to do the sheetrock inside, so that'll probably be another $110, $120 by the time I mud and tape it. And then depending on if I paint it with paint I already have or have to buy, you know, a couple more gallons, we'll say that it's $1,000. Let's just go even at $1,000.
Sure.
The amount of displaced individuals in America that could be helped out by a less than 100 square foot, less than $1,000 weatherproof domicile is amazing to me. Crystal and I were sitting on the floor just last night of the tiny office talking about what a difference this could make in someone's life. And I'm so surprised. Okay, I'm not surprised because I know the government wants us to depend on them for everything so that they can control us. I understand that. And yes, I am wearing my tinfoil hat right now. But I just don't understand why more municipalities aren't jumping on this opportunity to curb the homelessness and the impoverished rate within their municipality. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, we are perfect examples, Laura, and I feel like I'm on a soapbox, maybe preaching here, but we are good examples of perfectly happy, productive members of society that live in small spaces. There's nothing wrong with us. We're not sociopaths. We're not criminally insane. We're not in need of severe medical attention. In fact, we don't, and I know this because I know you, we don't even litter. We're not even litter bugs. We're nothing like that.
That is true. Although I would challenge that there might be something wrong with us.
There is something wrong with us. It's undiagnosed, certainly, and probably not something that modern medicine could take care of. but it just amazes me. It amazes me that so many pockets in America are still they're just unexposed to what the possibilities are. It floors me. It really does floor me. So I'm throwing it out there. Anybody who wants to help us get the show to a national audience, a bigger platform where we can talk about alternative housing, and it doesn't even have to be limited to tiny houses. I'm willing.
Absolutely.
I am willing to talk about all sorts of alternative houses and talk from a design standpoint, a political standpoint, a social standpoint. I'm willing to talk about it all. Help us out, folks. Help us out. Tell us who to talk to. And please don't respond to Laura and I by saying, oh, we'll talk to your congressman. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to work yet. One congressman or one representative is not going to be the key. The key is going to be in the pocketbook. You've got to get a company behind you that has money, that spends money, that supports people with money. There. That's all okay, I'm done. I'm done now. Rant over.
Well, we're see where it leads.
You never know
who's listening.
You never know who. I certainly don't know who's listening. In fact, sometimes I go, who the heck is listening? So, let's talk about, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Do we even need to talk about anything? We have a cool guest today. A cool guest that I think is probably going to be rather entertaining, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm fine just talking to him and letting everyone hear the coolness of his project.
Awesome, awesome. Well, then let's do that. So let's, today, folks, hey, you know what? I'm not even going to introduce it. Let's just roll with it. Let's roll it. Roll action. What is the ready, set, no. What do they say? On your mark, get set, go? Is that the best thing to say? On your mark, get set, go?
Sure.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable.
We'll try it. On your mark, get set, go. All right, so we are here today with our newfound friend, Alec Lisevsky, who is of the tinyproject.com. You can find it online at www.tiny-project.com. Alec, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here and talk to you guys.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I know a lot of people have been following you now online and are getting keen to what you're doing. Your site is actually one of the cleaner sites, which makes it nice to read. And
Right. Yeah,
I think, even my site started out really clean, and then somehow or another I junked it up, just like so many other aspects of my life, I suppose. I just junk it right up. But it's nice to have you on the show, and I'll tell you why, man. Your house is so unique. I mean, it seems like when Laura and I first started doing this, you know, there was kind of this cookie-cutter sort of mold for all tiny houses. And then as we started to see more and more houses, the mold started to be broken, and these really new, interesting houses started to come out of the woodwork, if you will, starting with like clothesline tiny homes, which I know you've referenced on your blog, and many motives, the Macy Miller's tiny house, and then the Golden Elephant there in Charleston, just a number of different types of homes that have some really, you know, tall man's tiny house, that sort of stuff, some really interesting elements. And in looking at yours, it's a very unique look to it. So start us off. Tell us a little bit about how you kind of caught the bug. How did you get started on this this whole tiny house thing?
That's of course the first question that most people, I feel like, get fairly obsessed with the concept at some point and end up having to build on themselves. For me, I think, you know, there are a lot of factors. I had been living in L.A. in Santa Monica, right near the beach. It's beautiful. Rent was outrageous. I lived there for almost 5 years and spent, you know, $50,000 on rent. And then I moved to Boulder, Colorado, which is also quite an expensive place to live. So I was just, you know, thinking about the sort of sustainability of that idea of renting in order to live in places that I really love. And I really got pretty sickened by it, actually, and just wanted to own my home or build a home, something that I wouldn't be paying that much money every month for.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, that was one of the early factors to get me interested. And, you know, but and then the other thing was, I don't know where I want to live. So I was like, you know, originally I was just looking at very small homes, but not necessarily on trailer. I hadn't really discovered this concept yet. But then I'm like, I can't settle down yet. I don't know yet. And so I found a way that I could build something that I could afford that was mobile, so I could move wherever I wanted. And I was just like, that's perfect. You know, what more could I ask for? And then, you know, the more and more I learned about sort of the lifestyle that surrounds a tiny house and sort of minimalism and how to really simplify your life. It seems to me that people who live in these kind of situations are far happier than people who live in large houses. So just everything really clicked with me at that point. I'm just like, I love basically everything about it. And I just couldn't start, you know, wait to start designing my own.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Alec, if I'm correct, and I'm pretty sure I am because you, the About Tiny Project page on your website says so, it's not just you. There's a couple other people involved in this little project with you as well. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
people. Sorry, there's not a couple people. There's a couple other living entities.
There have been a lot of people involved in the whole process. I mean, the house is going to be lived in by myself and my girlfriend Anjali and our dog.
Let me just interrupt you there. Are you and Laura? See, Laura and I both live with our partners in our tiny houses, and so I say this out of love, my friend. Are you prepared to spend this much time in this small of a space with another human being?
You know, I think I don't know if anyone can be prepared for that. I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, we're going to have to figure it out as we go, and it's going to be like, you know, we'll try and separate the loft so it becomes a bit of its own space, and mm-hmm. we need a little distance from each other. But, you know, I mean, honestly, one of the other reasons I like the tiny house concept is it gets you to go outside more. And, you know,
absolutely.
If we need some space from each other, one of us just walks out the door and hangs out outside or something. You know, I feel like that there's always ways to make it work. So
yeah.
It's going to be a challenge.
Walking out the door is great, man. It's great. If she walks out the door and is not back 2 days later, you may want to take that as a sign. And the other thing is, you know, one of the most interesting things about living with your partner or your spouse or significant other or whatever in a tiny house is you have to learn, there is this secret love language of tiny house living. Just because your other brushes up against your butt doesn't mean they're hitting on you. It probably just means they need to get in the fridge and you're in their way.
Right. It's an intricate dance.
Yeah, it is a very intricate dance. You learn to waltz around each other without making the other think you're ready for a little intimacy. When you're clearly not,
right.
You just want a snack, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge just working, just literally getting around in such a small space and trying to pass each other as we go about our day without, you know, just getting pissed off because we feel like we're always in the way or someone's in our way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the interesting things about it and what we've found out is that it forces relationship interaction in a way that you're not used to and in a way that I think is very good for human beings because there is no just escaping the situation. You know, we live in a world where it's too easy to just hang up the phone or not call back or don't return an email or act like you didn't get a text or something, that whole passive-aggressive state. And when you live in 200 square feet with another human being, you have to confront the issues. You can't just, you know, pretend that it's not happening. Now, that's not to say that you have to be aggressive about things, but it does make you interact with each other on a level that's so much more special, in my opinion, than the relationships that exist in perhaps larger houses where, you know, mom and dad kind of hang out in this area, and then brother hangs out over here in his area, and then sister's way up here in her area, and, you know, occasionally they'll pass each other at the dinner table or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think it'll be a challenge, but I'm also looking forward to it. It could mean some really positive things for our relationship as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And from my experience, you know, now it's kind of weird when we're in a larger space. Like, why are you so far away? It just doesn't make any sense anymore.
You know, Laura, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Laura, because the other day, Crystal and Tilly went out for a few hours. And right before she left, she was like, enjoy your time. And I was like, oh, I will. You know, thinking, oh, I'll just catch up on Netflix or I'll take a nap or something like that. I think it was about 2.5 hours into what became a 4-hour excursion. And I was kind of like lost. I was like, something's not right about this scenario. Like, where are they? What are they doing? Not that I felt like I was being left out, but I just felt like my home was foreign. I felt like there was just something not right about the house. And mm-hmm. and it's very interesting that you fall into those patterns because you're just so used to being with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait, Alec, to hear how this all ends up for you. And so tell us, is Anjali cool with everything? Is she like, oh, I can't wait, this is going to be a challenge and fun and exciting, and oh, the dog's going to love it? And
yeah, that's been a cool process to watch too. Because at first you're kind of like, she's like, this is really cool. It's an amazing project. But I think maybe like I'll rent a place and I'll live with your partner. She's like, I don't know if I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's progressed, she's gotten more and more excited about it. So
right,
I feel
right.
like now she's just 100% on board, and it's
awesome.
It's becoming more and more exciting because it's getting close enough where it feels like a house and we can sort of envision ourselves living in it. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, look, let's move towards the actual design of the house, because that's what you just said is a good segue. You mentioned on your blog, and I can see from the exterior image that you have, the exterior, it looks like you use SketchUp. The exterior SketchUp shows some really large, beautiful windows, which on your blog, you plan on having oriented towards the south to work on some passive solar ideas as well as to just bring in a lot of light. Let me be the first to tell you, and Laura may back me up on this, I've seen a couple of tiny houses lately that have not really taken their windows into consideration the way I think they should have. My friend, you will be so happy to have that amount of natural light. That's going to really, I think, and for, in talking about especially living with someone in a tiny house, it's going, even on rainy days, it offers you that sense of you're not just confined within these walls. There's something bigger out there. There's something more. Your scenery's always changing, as the weather outside changes and that sort of stuff. So how did you come up with the exterior design? I mean, what made you think, what made you decide to have two different roof, actually, it looks like three maybe, three different roof pitches and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, well, with the windows, I was just thinking, okay, I'm living in this tiny little box. What's going to make it work for me? And just that feeling like I wasn't trapped, feeling like I had this sort of connection and openness to the outdoors, and just the amount of light and the amount of air that could get in was probably the most important thing for me. So when I originally sat down on SketchUp and just like learning SketchUp, and I was just designing the exterior, I just put in a ton of windows,
mm-hmm.
and this was like my dream version of the tiny house, and I wasn't really thinking like, how am I going to build this yet? I was just like, this is what I want. And then as I refined it, I just basically didn't compromise much with the windows, and I was just like, yeah, I'm going to have 10 windows in my house. So, I mean, it was just one of those things I felt, in order to be really happy living like this, it's something I needed.
Yeah.
So I was willing to spend the extra money to get lots of windows and nice ones, and just mm-hmm. That was important to me.
We have six windows. We have our door, half of our door is windows, and then we have a skylight. And there are days where we still feel like we could have gotten away with two more windows in a couple of places. I just cannot.
You never have too many.
No, you really never can. I think about Laura living out there in the mountains. I mean, she's got a view that people pay money to go see every October and November. So you just in that setting, and we're close to we live rurally, but we're close to the beach, so we get this nice breeze off the water and that sort of stuff. So when you really think about location, unless you're kind of living in somebody's backyard, you're right, man. You can never have too many windows because you're constantly getting a change of environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very wise, and I love what you say, and I want everyone that's out there in listener land to hear what he said and to think about that as you're maybe thinking about your own tiny house. He wasn't willing to compromise. Alec wasn't willing to compromise. That's something that I think too many tiny house people deal with, is that idea of compromise. They want it now. I want this tiny house. I want it now. So if we have to compromise, we have to compromise. Don't do it. Just hold out longer.
Yeah.
Save one more paycheck. Save two more paychecks. Whatever. Hold out a little bit longer till you get what you want. Because when you're talking about 200 square feet, what started out as a small compromise in the end may become a very large situation.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that was true. It was true like that for most of the design with me, you know, like you mentioned the sort of the roof line and how it's got, it's, you know, this shed style roof, and then it's got these sort of folding, overhanging roof sections to shade those large windows from the midday sun. And those, and that was, again, something that I'm like, you know, I know this is going to be harder to build. And I know I'm going to have to figure out some kind of interesting engineering things to make this work. But it's one of those things, like, you know, if you spend all this time, especially if you're building it yourself, and you're investing so many hours in the research and the design and the construction of this thing, like, make it what you really want, you know? So,
oh,
yeah. I just, that was another thing where, you know, everyone looks at it and, like, you've never built a house before. They're like, that's going to be a challenge. And, like, they're like, it's amazing. It's beautiful. But, you know, you have some lofty expectations. And I'm just like, yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to design something and I'll figure out how to make it work. And, you know, it's like that every step of the way. There are a lot of problems to solve, but I think people, even with little to no construction experience, will find that they're more capable than they think. You know, you can learn quite a bit pretty quickly and just get it done.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think that there's two sides to the coin here, and Laura and I have talked about this before. The one side to the coin is inexperienced builders need not apply. And the reason I say that is because what starts out as being, you know, a 16th of an inch off, by the time it travels 20 feet down, it becomes 3/4 of an inch. And that
right.
can completely destroy any idea of a level and plumb house that you once had. But the other thing
right.
is, don't underestimate the ingenuity of the human spirit. We are descendants of people who, by hand, cleared thousands of acres of America and then took what they cleared and built houses out of it. The human spirit is possible. You know, it has the ability to create enormous, beautiful things. And I think too many people in today's society say, oh, well, all I know how to do is, you know, push a mouse around or something like that. I couldn't possibly build something. There's so much information out there. And really, if you can just convince a person to come and show you how to frame up one wall, you can do the other three. It's, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
not that difficult. And yes, cutting angles can be difficult and doing the math can be difficult. But at the same time, if you never try, you will never know. And if that's the lesson we continue to teach our kids, that if you never try, you know, it's okay, just hire somebody else to do it. If we continue to teach that lesson, we're going to be a nation full of people waiting to hire somebody.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And saying that, Alec, I know that, you know, I know on your blog that you hired a few people. I hired a few people just like you. I hired somebody to do the roof. I had all intention of doing the roof when the crate came in and I looked at it, I said, oh no, no, I'm hiring somebody to do that. It was more pieces than it was like the, you know, some people get like, when they get a package, they get like, you know, a little freight envelope or a shipping envelope or a piece of paper or something like that. I had an entire like manifest come with mine. And I was like, no, there's no way I can do that. I mean, you know, it was worse than IKEA. It didn't even have little round people on it. So I was like, I can't.
Oh.
So I hired someone to do that. All of the rest we did ourselves. But, you know, tell Laura and I about that. How much have you put in terms of work? How much have you put into your tiny house?
Well, basically, until just recently with the roofing and the siding,
mm-hmm.
I did everything myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, that's not true. I did. I have a friend who, a plumber, and another guy to help me with running the plumbing and some of the electrical wires through the subfloor before I even started building the walls.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a tiny house secret. Here's a tiny house secret. Did you supply them with either beer or pizza?
No. These people I actually paid. They were my friends, but, you know, they gave me a discount.
Oh, okay. Then you did. Yes.
They were getting compensated.
You did have help. Because, see, if you offer them beer or pizza, they're not really there to offer help. You can tell people, oh, I had some friends come over, and while we were eating pizza and drinking beer, we kind of worked on the house a little. See, that's the big secret. I only hired somebody to do my roof, but I had a lot of people come over and eat pizza and drink beer with me while I was working on the house.
We did the same thing.
I mean, you know, you can lift, you can raise a wall by yourself. I mean, you know, quite a few mathematicians and other scientific minds have told us that we can do this on our own with the proper leverage. But when you have six guys stuffed with pizza and beer who think they can take on the world, oh my gosh, you can put a whole barn up in a day. I'm telling you.
That's true. I think I got to start using the pizza and beer method a little more.
That'll, for sure. You ought to be like, dude, you're going to sit there and eat my pizza and drink my beer and not help me do this? Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. And then they feel bad about it. They're like, oh, I'll help you. Yeah. Well, look, let's talk for just a second about the cedar, because that's the most recent thing on the blog, probably the most recent thing to happen to the house. First of all, it's gorgeous. The use of metal and wood is absolutely gorgeous. And I think, and Laura, I talked about this just a little bit earlier, but you and I have talked about this before, how tiny houses are clearly breaking the cookie cutter mold that once existed. I mean, it's like the sky is the limit now. And I think the materials that you use are a good example of that. You're bringing in kind of that earth, wind, and fire idea, if you will. You've got metal, you've got wood, and you've got glass. So all of these wonderful elements are involved in the house. What made you decide to go with the cedar siding on the outside?
You know, cedar is one of those things, or especially like the really nice clear grade cedar that I got. It's one of those things where like I knew that I could never finish a normal sized house or something like that because it's really expensive. So I'm like, so it's one of those things where I think it's really beautiful, and if I'm going to splurge on something on a much smaller level with such, you know, little square footage, you know, that would be something that I would do. And it, you know, because and also cedar is really light. You know, it's forgiving. It's a great material to finish a house with. So the thing that sort of influenced me on that is I was living in Boulder, and it's an affluent little town, and it's got a lot of nice houses. And I would walk around my neighborhood and see a lot of these sort of modern designs that incorporated a really nice wood with a metal roof or metal on the wall, as I had done. Not necessarily the same way, but something similar, a sort of mix of really nice looking materials. And, you know, and then I would look at all these tiny house designs, and most people, it would just, you know, it would just be finished like a normal house. The siding would just run the whole distance of the house and it would be clean and nice. But I'm like, well, you know, I think I want to break that up and maybe, you know, kind of break up the dimensions of the house a little bit so it didn't look so long or it didn't look so tall, and play with different shapes. And so I just thought it'd be cool to sort of wrap that area of the house to have the most windows with the metal, and I really like the way that both materials work together.
Well, it's well played. It looks so good. It really does. And you know, you brought up something interesting. You were in Boulder. Or is that what you said, Boulder? You know, you have these inspirations walking around your neighborhood and stuff. That's why I chose to build in a trailer park, because my expectations were so small. I could almost cobble together a tiny house and still be better than the neighborhood. So all you people out there listening who are about to build a tiny house, hey, lower your expectations. Build somewhere where the average house looks like crap, and then you won't feel bad about your own. That's my big secret for the day. Go find some place. In fact, moving to a neighborhood where over three quarters of the houses are like HUD houses and build there, you'll feel good about everything you did. Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh man!
So, you know, I'm looking at your site, and I just want to remind everybody it's www.tiny-project.com. You'll find that link in the blog post that goes along with this, but it really is a beautiful project, and it's being commandeered, if you will, by Alec Lisevsky, and who might I just add is a web guy by trade, by profession. And it's interesting because both Laura and I are web people by profession, although Laura's more of an author And I'm more of an online marketing guy, but we still exist because of the web. It's interesting how many computer people and graphic and digital people kind of hover around the tiny house community. I can think of probably 9 or 10 off the top of my head whose day job revolves around web. So it's interesting. And Alec, I think you've got a beautiful home on your hands. I think Anjali's going to be very happy. I think you may want to put some sort of ID bracelet on her in case she does walk outside for 2 days. I just can't say enough good stuff about the house. I was just telling Laura before we brought you on the phone that I was in a funk. I was kind of tired of looking at tiny house blogs. I was getting tired of seeing kind of the same house over and over and over and over again. And then along comes your project and kind of restores me this morning, and I appreciate that very much. I hope lots of folks come and visit your page. I wish you the best. What kind of time frame are you looking at now? I know that you haven't really moved into the interior much at all, other than pulling the electrical and that sort of stuff. When are y'all hoping to move into this bad boy?
The next step of this getting the interior finished, obviously I have no experience. I don't know how long it's going to take. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to get it done before it gets too cold here in Iowa. So I'd like to be done maybe in October if possible.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. It will not happen.
All your expectations out the window.
It will not happen, and it will not happen even next year. We've lived in our house now for going on 8 months, and I still have a list of projects that I keep meaning to finish off inside, my friend, inside. Things that a normal house should have done already, including just that stupid shoe molding stuff. Who needs it? It wouldn't be so bad if I could commit one way or the other, either have shoe molding or don't. But the fact that I have one half of the shoe molding done and they are not in continuous pieces is pretty trifling. So I need to finish that up. It's just one of those things. I need to finish. It will not happen, but I guarantee you that you can get to a place where you can move into it. And because the lifestyle is so small, the possessions that you have are so, are minimal, your clothing is minimal, that sort of stuff, it's not difficult to work in a tiny house while you're living in it. Because it's not like you're tearing out an entire wall and re-sheetrocking and stuff. So even if you feel like you're not going to make that deadline, if you've got insulation up and you've got gas and electricity, you're good to go, man. You can move in it and do the rest, as you can. But it's the worst part of building a tiny house is that time between probably having the rough interior done and actually moving in. The finish work will be the bane of your existence because you'll think, just one more step and we're in. And then you go, oh, crap, I forgot that. Which reminds me, I don't know if I've ever even told you this, Laura. Y'all may not be aware, but people have seen it in pictures and not even noticed. On our front door, we have a silver handle and a brass deadbolt. We still have not picked out like a proper front door hardware set. So we have like the most mismatched ghetto version of a handle known to man on a door that we did not skimp on at all. So it's kind of interesting like that. And that's how life is. It throws you those curveballs. And they're separately keyed, too. So we have two keys to one door. That's always exciting.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. What's interesting is that people expect me to be, like, the tiny house authority with a capital A. And then when they hear this stuff, they're like, oh, my gosh, this guy's, like, the ghetto version of tiny houses. But It's true. I am. But look, Alec, we're not going to hold you up any longer. I'm just shooting my mouth off now. But look, we are very happy to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Again, folks, that's tiny-project.com. Alec, we look forward to seeing the progress that you make. Just the house in general is beautiful. It's a beautiful design. It's being executed so well. So we wish you continued success with that. Anything that Laura and I can offer to you, can help you out with, never hesitate to contact us. We'll be happy to do that. And I do want to put this one pitch out there that you have you've been helped in part by Green Building Supply out there in Iowa, which is also a sponsor of ours and a sponsor of the Comet Camper. Green Building Supply is an excellent company, tiny house folk. They are willing to work with you. They have great ideas, great products. So please feel free to visit them at greenbuildingsupply.com online. And you can tell them that either the Tiny Project or Tiny Revolution sent you, because they know us both. So, yeah. Alec, did I miss anything? You want me to say anything else?
No, that's it. I guess, I'd like to mention a couple of my other sponsors just that have helped me out. You know,
absolutely. Go for it, man.
I've gotten discounts and stuff from a big one is Carol Supply and Atumba. They basically, all the lumber, I ordered the siding, the roofing, my doors and windows. So that's a huge majority of the materials were through Carol Supply, and they've been really great to work with and have offered me a discount. This Gary Beard of Clear Lighting and Electrical Design is a man. He did my electrical design for free, and he's super easy to work with. Also, the trailer, Mac Lander made an amazing trailer for me, and they basically did modifications on it for free.
Wow.
And Creative Edge, where I got my warehouse space to work inside, and Jim over there is amazing, and basically, you know, I did a little web consulting for them, and he let me use the space for free. So,
oh, I love to hear that. A little bartering.
Fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are a lot of people that were involved in this, and it's really fun to see kind of the community being made more aware of it and be willing to help out.
Absolutely.
It's been
great. Awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That is. I love to hear about a good barter. I really do, because I have absolutely no marketable skills, and my finances are very limited. So, you know, I'll be happy to take people's trash out, really, in exchange for goods and services. So, on a serious note, Alec, it's been our pleasure having you. Thank you so much. I want to thank your sponsors from Tiny Revolution. Thank you for helping another member of the Tiny House community realize their dream. Again, best wishes, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
All right.
Yeah,
man.
It's been fun.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
All right, folks. This is Drew and Laura with your Revo Convo. We just talked with our new friend, Alec, over at tinyproject.com, doing great things. Laura, what do you have cooking this week? Anything exciting you want to tell us about real quick?
I am preparing for the most amazing event in all of geek culture, DragonCon.
Oh, yes.
I'm very, very excited about doing that. So
I've seen your pictures
all of
before.
My energy. Yeah, it's insane. It's an absolute weekend of nerdiness and costuming and celebrities, and it's in Atlanta, and it's fantastic, and I can't wait to go.
And we'll see pictures when you return.
Oh, yeah. A
lot
of pictures.
What are you dressing up as?
This year, a bunch of us are doing Alice in Wonderland.
Ah, isn't that fun? What could you envision me dressing up as, should I ever go to Dragon Con?
Goodness. Oh, that's a tough one.
I don't fancy myself as a superhero, per se. And I'm not like into Star Trek or Star Wars.
I'm trying to think of a character that would wear overalls.
Wear overalls. Now, you know what? What if I was from Men in Black? What about the guy from Men in Black that gets taken over by the alien? The farmer that gets taken over by the alien? But I wouldn't be the before or the after. I would be in the middle where his face starts to, like, sag off of the bones and stuff.
Oh, that might be brilliant, actually. If you could pull that off, that'd be fantastic.
Well, let's just say that you're talking to the kid who, at 10 years old, decided to be Dracula for Halloween and put half a tub of Vaseline in his hair. It took almost 3 months to get it all out, so I doubt I'm that brilliant. I doubt it. Well, look, on my platter, because I don't have a plate, I have a platter. I was born like that, you know. I'm not doing anything. I promised my family that this would be no work August, because you know, in transitioning to living into the tiny house, living in the tiny house and in our landscaping and all that, I've worked every weekend on some project. So I promised that there would be no work August. So I think we might, if the rain will hold out, we're going to hit the beach again on Saturday. I've been promising to take Tilly to her first attempt at Chuck E. Cheese. So
that's awesome.
We might try Chuck E. Cheese like Saturday for lunch or something. Then Sunday, she usually goes to her grandmother's, and it gives Crystal and I time to have together. So that's pretty much what I got on my platter.
That sounds fabulous.
It does. It does. So anyway, next week we're going to get together again and do a show. And next week we're going to talk to each other. And we're going to talk about some of the inconsistencies of living in a tiny house. Some of the, we got such good results from the first time we talked about life in a tiny house. We're going to talk some more about it and cover some interesting topics, including, including what it's like to poop in a bucket, I think. So I hope all of you will join us next week for another episode of the Revo Convo. As always, I'm Drew of Tiny Revolution.
And I'm Laura with Life in 120 Square Feet.
And you can get in touch with us. Either email me, andodom@gmail.com.
Or you can email me at lmladoie@gmail.com.
Awesome. All right, out there in listener land, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Revo Convo. You take care, be well, build your house, all that stuff, and we'll talk with you next week.